100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone.
Oh, man. I knew I should have taken the DayQuil or the NyQuil or some sort of quill. This is Lawrence Simon. I'm laying on my death couch, exhausted from the trip to Aggieland with Rosie to watch Rice get the crap pounded out of it by Texas A&M. Oh, my God. We were on the third deck. You know how much I love heights? So this is the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com, which may wind up being today. We'll see. Oh, my God. Ooh. At least I got lots of candy and stuff from Bucky's to cater the funeral with. We should probably set out a topic here. What did I pick? Vice is going to be the topic this week. There are all a bunch of stories on it. It was a challenge to many people. I think quite a few stories will mention Miami. I am sorry, city of Miami. I am so sorry. We thought we left the pastel and the loafers in the 80s. But there was this one shot from the... No, never mind. I'm going to flip this around. We're going to go with the people who sent stuff in last and work our way forward. Let's go with Danny. That's what you need to start a podcast off with Danny.
Take three. God, I can't read sometimes. It's like, you know, all I'm doing is reading a page. I'm reading a page. And it's like, ding? What do you mean, ding? Oh, somebody just dinged me on Facebook. And, God, no, I'm not going to answer that right now. I'm trying to record that. No, that's a toot. No. I'm not going to. They're dragging me into a conversation. No, it's not going to happen. Okay. This is my weekly challenge, 438 Vice. Here we go. Incoherent ramblings rumble through my mind as Miami Vice, not the NBC show about busting sex rings, but the actual factory that makes industrial-strength vices for automotive workshops around the United States, closes its doors because it was outsourced to China. The hookers are totally fooled. They line up for blocks outside the doors because they assume the factory must be filled with Johns lining up for last desperate blowjobs after being told they're all fired. After all, this is the factory district. Not amused, NBC decides to reinstate Miami Vice after it was canceled indefinitely for retooling. That's my story for this week. If you don't like it, you come to my page. It's called DannyDwyer.wordpress.com, and you file a complaint. And you know what? Maybe I'll answer it. Have fun, folks.
Thank you, Danny. And you think he's riled up over something? I know many of you are saying, wait, who's Danny? I'm saying... Well, if you listen to the whole show, you'll hear Danny. Yeah, that's why we flip things around sometimes. No, really, it's Danny. He does funny stuff. He gets angry, and then he gets even funnier. So, thank you, Danny. And let's keep rolling here before I completely collapse in a pile of self-pity and agony. Oh, my God, all the walking. There are like 10 billion ramps in the new south section of Kyle Field in order to get up to the third deck. Yes, I'm afraid of heights. Yes, we were in the third deck. Yes, it took me a while to get acclimated and not be gripping the seat in terror. As with every stadium seat, someone with my wideness doesn't quite fit in it. This is why I'm getting a treadmill this week. It's being delivered by Overstock.com. Overstock.com. Crap that you don't need that is... real cheap. So, okay, there's an ad. Let's move on to Chelsea, who's another person who frequents this podcast late, and therefore comes late in the podcast. But when we flip the order, she's actually early. I mean, Someone make sense of that, please. Heads or tails of it, I choose heads.
Vice by Chelsea. I won't deny it. There are things, many things, that I indulge in. Nothing too hardcore, no heavy drugs, or gambling, or anonymous sex. I thankfully manage to keep away from anything that will kill me, quickly at least. I do smoke, and drink on occasion. I eat too much junk food. I spend too much time surfing the net and playing online for it to be strictly normal. But at the end of the day, of all the things I indulge in, you, my darling, are the one thing I just can't get enough of. My sweetest vice.
And just then I heard the whole world shudder with joy. Thank you, Chelsea. Smoking, drinking, a Jedi craves not these things. Just does it out of addiction. Junk food, on the other hand, oh my God, Buc-ee's is full of it. Do you think I'm honestly going to get an avocado at a rest stop? Well, the bathrooms are clean. Man, to some people, Buc-ee's is like their oasis. It is their local grocery store or their local bathroom. That's very strange. Let's just keep going here before I get tangled up in my own tongue. Let's go with Muncie. What was it that we are this week? We're not the informers. We're the... Anyway, he'll tell us what we are. I can't remember for shit. That's what happens when you get old. We're coming up on, what, 10 years? Oh, man. And I know I sound like dog ass. I don't even put any production value into it. I'm doing this from the sofa with this crappy $30 headset when I should be using the Yeti microphone I bought for this on the stand, on the mic boom with the mixer, and it still sounds like crap when I do it from there. So, really, what's the point? I should just get a dime store hooker and let them record all this. Never mind, here's Chelsea.
Hello, Desert Bluffs. Munzee here, full of cheer in spite of the end that draws ever near. But no need to fear, because I've brought beer. What? No. Of course you can't have any of the beer. I need the beer in order to write the story. Which story, you might ask, but probably don't, because you've heard me do this enough times to know that the story's coming next? Funny you should, but probably don't ask. Vices by Christopher Monroe. We all have vices. The drink too many at the pub, the cigarette habit we can't seem to overcome, an annual trip to Vegas that always winds up over its initial gambling budget. Some, out of our minds on hallucinogens, might kill a stranger with our bare hands because it's the only way we can achieve orgasm. I, out of my mind on hallucinogens, kill strangers with my bare hands because it's the only way I can achieve orgasm. But that's beside the point. The point is, we all have vices. So how can we judge the vices of others? Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. That's it for me, Desert Bluffs. And that's it for you. By this time next week, you will be painted on the walls of my recording studio in a lovely mural, let's say for the sake of argument.
Okay, I forgot about the Desert Bluffs thing. It traumatized me so much last week, it was erased from my mind by orbiting lasers. Thank you, Muncie. Let's hope that I forget about that for next week, so it's just as much a surprise, and I lose my shit. Ah, oh, man. The things that you people do to amuse me, to amuse the world, you are the makers of the dreams, the makers of the music. Did I already mention about Joan Rivers dying? Yeah. That was sad. I'm not going to mock her. I'm not. Although, I'm telling you, When you get put in a coma, it's pretty hard to say, "Can we talk?" Obviously not. Your vocal cords are ripped out, and you're in a coma. Obviously not. Well, now you're dead. Now we can't talk. Unless it's with a Ouija board. Okay, there. That's my celebrity mocking for the day. There's a video going around of that Ray Rice elevator beating dude of when he was on the field and he tried to mess with J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans. And, you know, Ray just, like, shoved. And then just J.J. turns around. And he is freaking huge. And little inky, pinky Ray Rice. I mean, he's not a small... He's a strong dude. But he's, like, you know, compared to J.J., it's like Godzilla. So, next story is by Dionysus.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with four stories based on vice. The first story is called Virtues and Vices. Yeah, maybe you heard that saying, virtues turns into vices and vices turns into virtues. The others nodded. Buck was a goddamn good dog. Once, I bought this mama cow wild as a deer right off the reservation, I guess, and damned if she didn't come after me as soon as I let her out. Buck jumped right in there till she chased him round the truck and hightailed it. He had one vice, chasing cars. He just didn't know what to do with it when he finally caught one. Hell, if I know what that has to do with virtue, he laughed. Pass me another beer. Second story is called The Way to a Man's Heart. The way to a man's heart, my mother said, is through his vices. For years, I assumed this meant sex, so I catered to Dick's desires. And we got married. But after 8 years of marriage, I realized that his real vices were lying on the lounger, a beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other, a bag, box, or plate of fat on his fat belly, watching sports. The sex had been a test. My mother's wisdom still worked, though. I dutifully brought him beer, cigarettes, and fat. That man's vices were the best way to his heart. And the next story is called Resentment. You'd think an omnipotent being wouldn't have a problem with motivation, you know? You can do whatever you want. I mean, in the beginning, he had some big ideas, and you could look forward to fucking them up. And because he had those big plans, I was able to promote some major sins in those days. The fall of man, that was a day's work. That was more than a vice. Nowadays you get vices at best. Mass murders, abuse of women and children, slaughters of innocents. They don't last. Is it my fault? I can't do nothing about procrastination. And the fourth story is called Embarrassing. Well, said my mother, this is a story that embarrasses me. My wife Susan and I were relaxing with her and my stepdad on their back porch. He just said how the hospital bill for his first daughter was only $52. When Jim was born, the Blue Cross Blue Shield paid everything. Except we paid $57 to get him circumcised. When I took him back, Dr. Smith took a look and said, "Well, we circumcised the wrong baby." My stepdad asked her, "Should you be talking about that in front of Susan?" "I think she knows," said my mother. "I can't imagine why I never asked for my $57 back." See you next week.
And that's why Dionysus gets invited to the cool parties. Thank you, Dionysus, for bringing an element of, oh my God, did he say that? To this podcast. Because God knows I don't do enough of it. Ooh. Whoa. Oh, I've been laying on the sofa. I am not even reaching for my iced tea. That's right. I'm not even drinking coffee or Bailey's. I'm not doing my laundry either. I did it yesterday. So, there you go. Oh, man, coming back home 2 in the morning. Wow. That was fun. Although we did stop by Bucky's to get a whole bunch of stuff. I should probably reach for some crappy snack food at some point. I've had, I think, Honey Nut Cheerios? Yeah, that's what that's in the mug. So, yeah, milk, I see, I think I put something in it. I'm not sure. It's not alcohol, though. Although a Japanese mimosa would go good. Orange juice, and then sake. Oh, man. Doesn't matter how bad the sake is, that stuff's good. Speaking of good, how about we move on to... Who's next? Norval Joe? Okay. We'll listen to Norval Joe. And, I should probably say this. I'm using up all of the 1 minute and 38 seconds of this stupid typing loop, aren't I? I need to tighten things up.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of Flypaper Boy Coming of Age, coming next week to Amazon. Be there or be square or be there anyway and help me out. Just $2.99, that's all I ask. Well, here's my story for the weekly challenge number 438, with a prompt of Vice. Let me see if I can find my story here, and I'll read it for you. Oh, I forgot. Last week, Lawrence asked what it would take to piss me off. Yeah, each of us, really, to piss us off and get us to never come back. Well, I don't know. It hasn't done it so far. Foul language doesn't do it. He's made fun of my religion. That hasn't bugged me yet. He could make fun of my family. I make fun of them, too. Wiener dogs, hey, take your shot. I don't care. I don't even own one. Yeah, I think you'd have to really read me the riot act for something I didn't do, but that you completely misunderstood that I maybe had, and not listen to me and not hear my side of the story. I think that's what it would take, is to really get pissed off at me and not listen for my explanation. Because, you know, I try and play by the rules here. It's your backyard. I'll play this game the way you want to play it. Anyway, that's enough of that. Here's my story. I think. Durgle stood in the dark, surveying the kennels in his backyard. The girls in one to the right, and the boys on the left. 23 dogs in all. Some would consider it a vice to have so many dogs. Not Durgle. To him, a wiener dog was a symbol of strength, of power, of tenacity and endurance. The more wiener dogs one could own, the greater a person's capacity and influence. He had struggled to use his powers for good, only to be discounted and dismissed. The world would rue the day Durgle turned his efforts to evil. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Philip Norval Joe Carroll. Yes, I admit I'm guilty as charged of trying all those things, whether directly or indirectly or just running off my mouth. And oh my God, I should edit that out. Yeah, that takes effort. But this Flypaper Boy thing coming up, we've been waiting for a long time for that. All of us, yes, the royal we, or the non-royal we, or the wee-wee. I better go to the bathroom. I am just thrilled that you're coming out with this. And I look forward to buying it. $2.99. That I am literally going to go to Home Depot, get a bucket, and drop $2.99 into it just to prove that it is a drop in the bucket. I also need to go get garden shears because Dana was whining about, hey, we got to prune back the jasmine, and, you know, we need better garden shears. These are 6-year-old. Like, okay. Well, I was using the shears from the Ginsu collection that we have in the kitchen. It's like, oh my God, those are for the kitchen. I'm like, well, they use them in the commercial. They wash them off. They cut up pennies with them. Nope. Oh, no. Oh, no. So I got good. Garden shears, a bucket. Maybe I'll get a garden weasel. Those things look cool when ninjas use them. So congratulations on the book. I look forward to dropping in the bucket for it. And next is Tom, who you will appreciate for his manly thighs.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I've got three stories tonight. The first, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 67. "Ouch," said Mother. One of the tiny spaceships was glowing. "Engineering, on my mark, all power to the shields," said the captain. "Helm, vice maneuver, Z9 on 10. Data, reverse the polarity on the tachyon stream. Captain, the life force has released the hull. We are in free fall." Before the Duke could reach out, the Enterprise was skimming above the mud. When the Death Star fired up the Death Ray, Mother dropped it also. It landed in the mud, popped three times, and imploded. "Best you give me that one back," said the Duke, holding up a tiny jump gate. Story 2. Grandpa's Vice. Benny was not allowed to touch anything in his grandfather's shop. Lots of really sharp stuff. It was clear from observing his uncles that no one questioned the old man's word. The joke in his family was he brought you into the world and he could just as easily take you out. Benny thought it was odd. No one laughed at the joke. Knowing the need to impress a young mind with an adequate practical demonstration, Grandpa took a piece of copper tubing, put it in the iron vise, and spun the handle, crushing it. "Here," said Grandpa, "you can touch this." Nearly a saint. "I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I don't covet wives, goods, or goats. I don't do coffee, coke, or Cocoa Puffs. I really don't have much in the way of vices. But if computers were on the list of the seven deadly sins, I would surely be hellbound. It could be argued, given my profession, all things electronic are merely tools of the trade." "Nope. I've seen the statue of the seven, the leering smile, gaping mouths, and wild eyes. That's me. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It has been 24 hours since my last purchase, and that's it."
"Well, Tom, I guess you need to go out purchasing. I mean, 27 hours, that's a long, long time. You really, really need... You're out of date. Your stuff is all out of date now. You're obsolete. Therefore, buy new stuff." One thing that never goes out of style, though, is saying, "Thank you, Tom." Oh, okay, I'm going through my words with friends. If you feel like playing me at words with friends, let's see, is full of crap. Also, if you've got me Facebook friended, but I'm very reluctant to add new people to that. And a lot of people tend to be like, "Oh my God, I can't stand his timeline." Don't follow the timeline. Just be my friend. Please? No, really. I'd prefer that you just look me up directly within the Zynga application. It's full of crap, because you don't want to see my timeline. You don't want to see my waistline. Oh, God. That's why I'm getting the treadmill. Remember when I used to walk so much, and I got really, really, really healthy? Well, okay, I would say I dropped down to 185 when I was actually coming down with colds all the time. Because I need a BMI of at least 25 to feel okay. Don't you? Is that a high number? I'm not sure. My BMI right now is the national debt clock. Let's, Lizzie? Okay, let's go with Lizzie. She's ready in the chute. And pull.
The devil crossed the border, looked around, and decided that that small village was the perfect place for a vacation. When he set out to find a hotel, he came across a smartly dressed man. He felt so tempted, a foot, just a foot, and the idiot would trip, he sneered. Then he came across a kid on his new bike. A foot, just a foot, and he sneered. Finally, he came across an elderly lady. Ha! This was the one, a foot, just a foot, and... The devil was shocked and mortified. His pride was completely shattered. The elderly lady sneered. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodgov.blogspot.com and have a great Sunday. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I think I will have a great Sunday, or a milkshake, or something like that. Yes, today is milkshake day. I will go have a great milkshake, although I could have a great Sunday. Where's the nearest marble slab? I'll look it up, and I'll have a Sunday there, and it will be great. I already had an ice cream cone when I was done with jury duty at the 31 flavors. It was only one flavor. I keep meaning to go back and have 31 flavors. One over every day. Ice cream. But no, if I need to do any walking, it will be with the treadmill, inside, in the comfort of my own domicile. I remember when I had the gumption to walk outside. You know what made me walk? I forced myself to get off of the bus 3.5 miles from home, and then I would walk around the tunnels downtown during lunch, instead of eating lunch, because I was forced to take an hour off for lunch. And what did I do? I walked. Then I ate at my desk. Very little. Because, of course, if you want to lose weight, you have to eat very little. I kept it up for a while, but it was when Nardo started to be in steep decline. I wanted to get home. And, well, excuses after excuses. Life is all about excuses, not reasons. I may have mentioned this before. One excuse that you can't pile up is Zach Mann. Zach Mann isn't an excuse. He is the way.
Bye, dearest. I'm off to Vice City Hardware because they have a sale on new vices and just got a shipment from Miami, he said. You almost never do anything handy. Why do you need a vice? She asked. Because, dearest, all my writer friends tell me that everyone needs a vice. The Vice City Hardware flyer says they started naming them like IKEA does. The one I am buying is called Roy. I have been tracking shipments of the advertised items. You know how important it is to follow good advice. And free flashlight with purchase.
Thank you, Zachman. Hey, free flashlight. I've got one of those 22,000 milliamp battery rechargers. It is huge. It is ungainly. I don't know why I bought it. I need to get a smaller one now. So the next time that Amazon has one of those. And it has a flashlight built in it, which will last until the end of the universe. But that big battery charger thing, I mean, it's useless. It's a slow trickle, and it's huge. It's just freaking useless. It can recharge a whole bunch of devices, sure, but what's the point when it's just too freaking big? So I need a small and discreet one with a plug built in it. But if I get one with an iPhone 6 plug or 5 plug, and I wind up instead getting a Galaxy 5 from work, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. It's just stupid. I don't want to carry two phones either. That's just like the pit of despair. The pit of despair. No one calls me at work. I mean, I'll get a text now and then, like once every 3 weeks. But I really just want to integrate it all into one phone. I've done that for 2 years. Well, I had the MyTouch for a while, but don't get me started on that. It was like every other minute. It would be a phone call calling for some deadbeat that used to work for the place. And it's like, really? Seriously? There's a reason why they got rid of that phone. But I would never get rid of serendipity. How's that for a segue?
If I have any fault, it's that I don't have a vice. I've plenty of other tools of the trade. Chisels, hammers, clamps and saws. But I've never really had need of a vice. And, to be honest, it's never been a hindrance to my craft. In fact, if I may boast, I'm the best in the trade. You see, a good workman knows how to get the best from his tools, and knows exactly which tools are suited to the job. Oh, you thought I was a carpenter? No, I'm master torturer for the Spanish Inquisition.
Thank you, Serendipity, and I may need to borrow your services at some point in order to bring some people back. I don't know, like Mick from Southern Scotland. No, some other Scotland. I mean, it would be cool if he was still around, and then we could say, hey, Mick, what do you think of this Scotland separation thing? Because everyone in Scotland is going to have an opinion. I mean, like, it's the fate of their whole country, right? It is a country, isn't it? I mean, it's Scotland. It's Scottish. I wonder what kind of... Are they going to have their own embassies all over the place? That's going to be the first biggest pain in the ass. Building embassies. Because, as we all know, it's very important to have an embassy these days. Then all the people are Scots, and you have to come back, get their own, you know, passports. All right, this one will do for this. Then they may need their own money, printing up haggis pieces. It doesn't make any sense. Although, if, you know, UK has an embassy in that country, right? But it's probably in Tel Aviv. What could happen is they could say, oh, you want to build an embassy, huh? Yeah, you're going to need to build it in Jerusalem. And, of course, the Scots will go, oh, we recognize it. Hey, we build one for the Arabs. And then, you know, they play bagpipes. So, let's go with Richard. See what he's got now.
Good morning. I've only got two stories for you today. And the first is part 70 of George's story. It's called Fate. George held the steering wheel in a vice-like grip, his body tense as he realized exactly where he was. Breathing slowly, he let the horror, anger, and finally disappointment wash over him as he stared at the building through the cracked windscreen. Things had come full circle. Fate, it seemed, still had games to play. He faced a choice. Did he play along, or get the hell out of there? Grimly, he opened the door and climbed down from the vehicle. Let's see what fate has in store, he muttered, walking purposefully towards the hospital, where his journey had started. And here's my second story, Miami Vice. Pocket and Scrubs were considered Miami's finest. Although you'd never have guessed it from seeing them, Armani suits, shades, designer stubble and fast cars were hardly the usual Vice Squad image. But then, Pocket and Scrubs were hardly your usual Vice Cops. It was all a big game. The guns, the car chases, the violence and the action. The suits and sports cars just added a certain glamour and sex appeal to the job. They lived for the job. An irony not lost on their colleagues, for Pocket and Scrubs had their own consuming vice. The job itself. And that's all I have for you this week. I'll speak to you again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. You know, I could ask Richard what their opinion is, because everyone with an accent from over there will have an opinion. I mean, like over here, who would have an opinion of, I don't know. I gotta tell you, the condition of Kyle Field, the grass, was horrible. They were tamping it down with sand, there were divots, there were players getting hurt from it. I mean, I know that Aggie Engineering is supposed to be wonderful. They can seat over 100,000 people in this thing. I'm sure that those of you who have been rousted from the favelas of Brazil for those 200,000-seat soccer stadiums are like, oh, yeah, right. But you do not have barbecue and all sorts of falafel cakes and stuff in the concourses. Oh, my God. Plus, the ramps. Oh. So, they have all these ramps. They're supposedly okay for people with wheelchairs. But, man, would your arms get tired. That's why they have elevators. Hell, that's why they have a first floor. Oh, someone else who might have an opinion of this Scotland thing. No, Jeffrey won't. Maybe Jeffrey, I don't know. Leave your comments in the comments of the comments on that. I'm in severe pain and I'm not taking anything for it but iced tea. So, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. As if this is different from any other day.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, and I'm here with a trio of stories on the topic of vice. My first story is called Little Eva. In my high school, like many around the country, the principal and vice principal played a form of good cop, bad cop. The principal was a cheerful, rotund man who always gave the impression they liked his job and liked being around students. Clearly, he was an excellent actor. His reward upon retirement was to have the football stadium named after him. His vice principal was a short, plump woman, sarcastically named Little Eva because of her size, or Eva Braun because we thought she behaved like her namesake's boyfriend, who seemed to delight in meting out punishment to students. One didn't mind being called to the principal's office. It was the vice principal's one wanted to avoid. Hers was a thankless job. My next story is called Hair Extensions. Ferguson, Missouri doesn't seem like a wealthy place, but a number of troublemakers have been using the protests over Michael Brown's death as cover for a multi-day looting spree. Ferguson doesn't have enough native looters, so they've been importing looters from St. Louis and from as far away as Texas. Looters tend not to be very specific about what they take. Sneakers and hair extensions seem to be popular items. I used to think those people were horrible opportunists, taking advantage of a difficult situation in order to steal from business owners and employers of locals. But then I started thinking, Barry Goldwater famously said, "Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice." Although one might not think of looters as devotees of Goldwater, perhaps they're just liberating merchandise from the shelves. And my last story is called Joe. Candidate Obama mulled over the short list of possible running mates. He wanted someone smart, someone who could help him with tough policy decisions. It would be good if the person had skills complementary to Obama's. Someone from a large, in-play state would also be helpful, as would having a solid, respected politician who would be a viable candidate when Obama's terms were over. All these were important. However, one criterion stood above the rest. As the vice president was a heartbeat away from being the leader of the free world, Obama needed someone who was enough of a bozo that not even the lunatic fringe of the country would think about evicting him from office. And that's how Joe Biden became vice president. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey, for some electoral advice. Remember that in 2016, when we're voting for none of the above. Who is none of the above's running mate? I don't know, but my God, they're better than anyone there on the ballot. It's getting worse and worse, people. Maybe one day I will run for office and then get all of my dirty laundry dragged out. Ooh, it's Sunday. I could do my dirty laundry. Okay, I'll get all my laundry done before I run. And I'll have it all dry cleaned. All the skeletons in my closet will be dry cleaned. And then inserted into a poem by Allen Ginsberg. Let's see. Oh, Tura's coming up. Oh, good. Whew! That means that Tura was early this week and is going, hey, wait. Wasn't I early? Shouldn't I go first? No, I'm flipping things around. I should try this every now and then. What I may do is flip a coin before every podcast to decide what order it goes in. Maybe there will be random order one week. I'm not sure. No, probably not, because that takes effort. But I will flip a coin, even though I don't really have coins around. Everything is credit, or it's a $2 bill. Whatever. Tura, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you ready for this? Okay, here's Tura.
I have two stories this week. First story. The Viceroy of Khandrastan pondered the petition that his steward found nailed to the palace gates. It said only, "O pinnacle of the age." He was pleased to hear of his popularity. The next week, his steward found another. It said, "Rejoice on the day of celebration." He considered this must refer to the anniversary of his appointment, a week thence. He decided to arrange feasting and entertainments for the people. On that day, his steward found a third, which said, "Come and be satisfied." The viceroy ordered the palace gates opened. The people stormed in and began the revolution. And the second story. General Wei investigated reports concerning government officials and ladies of the night. After consulting eminent scholars of virtue, he instituted the Register of Vices, specifying for every rank of official the vices to be forbidden, disapproved, approved, or compulsory. Among compulsory vices were the fathering of children upon courtesans, the number of such required offspring being proportionate to the rank of the official. Approved vices included managing a house of ill repute. Disapproved was the zealous prosecution of approved vices. And absolutely forbidden was to divulge the contents of that register, whose only copy was held by the vice minister.
Thank you, Tura. And my apologies to all of you out there listening for making you wait that long to hear these stories. But as I said before, I flip things around. And actually, I accidentally inverted the columns in my weekly challenge folder. And so I started saving. I was like, oh crap, I need to renumber these. Or do I? So yeah, it was an accident. I'm sorry, but at least things are a little different, right? Should we do them in different orders? Or should we reward people who actually come up with stories first? We could call it the Squimbobway rule from that dude that used to be on here that would... I don't know. You don't care. Well, let's just get back to the stories. And we are at John Musico. So, here is a treat. I hope you enjoy. Use the right fork. No, no, that's the salad fork. No, that's the shrimp fork. No, that's last week's topic fork. Okay, here is John Musico.
The Entrapper by John Musico. Vice Cop Bert was known among the perps as the Entrapper. Like many cops, Bert's marriage was going sour. Meanwhile, criminals, many a time falsely busted by Bert, plotted their revenge. Nicky, an expert at insurance fraud, drafted a hefty life insurance policy for Bert's wife. Melinda made calls as a concerned neighbor for escalating domestic unrest. Lefty took a set of prints from the site of Lefty's most recent arrest by Bert in Lefty's home, Bert's prints. Finally, Blade the assassin knocked off Bert's wife, placed Bert's prints on the murder weapon, a large knife from Bert's kitchen.
Thank you, John Musico. You know, I should go to the kitchen and get myself something alcoholic to get over this pain. Or maybe a painkiller. No, those are in the bathroom. Okay, let's scroll through here. Scrolling. And have I been cut off from Twitter? That's not good. Nope, Twitter's not updating. I've overdone the tweets. Wait, I got an update. Okay, they want to play. Man, 40 points on me. I thought I was winning. Oh, wait. M-A-N-T... M-A-N-T-I-O-N-S. Mansions. No, that's not a word. Okay, well, that's, those stories. Let's wrap this up with Planet Z. I know you've been listening to... Wait, why didn't he come first? No, he always goes last. Believe me, you don't want him first.
My least two favorite letters on the Scrabble Award are V and C. God damn tiles. Sure, they're worth more than the usual points, but you can't make a two-letter word out of them. I like two-letter words, quick and dirty points. You see, the two-letter words that you build across or down from a vowel, especially valuable when it's double or triple. When I get two or three or four of those damn V or C tiles, and I can't come up with a word like vice or vav, I'll dump them and then get them right back. God damn tiles.
So, there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of vice. I was worried that this was going to be a difficult topic, but you people shone right through. You did a great job. Congratulations. I am looking forward to next week's stories on the topic of guard. Hopefully this one's a little easier, and all the folks that are like, oh, I think I'll sit this one out, you come back. Yes, and you give it a shot. Unless you're busy, then it's okay. I know the school has just begun. You're worried about your kids or your bank account. It's okay. It's fine. Relax. This is a challenge. It's not mandatory. I'm just challenging you. This is a challenge! So congratulations to Norval Joe on the book. I look forward to linking to something to make people drop money in a bucket. Congratulations to Beware the Hairy Mango for their 5th anniversary. I put in something there or two, or not sure, but he's the one that I'm like, oh my god, how does he do that? And he does it quickly. And you can hear how hesitant and horrible my take on his stuff is. Although the George the Pirate stuff is meant to be kind of in his style, but no, it isn't. So thank you all for listening. Go to One A Day Until the Dot. Just, you know what it is. I'm just going to trip over my tongue for a while. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.